If you would, please turn over to Luke, the 11th chapter, the 10th verse. That's where we're going to be at this evening. One little simple word, one little simple scripture. Very, very popular scripture, 11:10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And I'm going to say it one more time because I believe it's very important that we get this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let us pray. Father, again, Lord, we come to the house this evening. We come praising you tonight, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity one more time to stand behind the sacred desk tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would use my lips, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd use my mind. I pray, Father, that you would open up hearts here this evening, Lord. And, the Father, that we could come to the knowledge and come to be draw closer to you, Lord. And, Father, that we can even seek you more and more. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Nothing that God does is ever done by chance. Do you understand that? Can you say amen to that this evening? Amen. He is meticulous in his plans. He pays absolute attention to even the smallest details that go on in each and every person's life. Do you agree with that this evening? To ensure that everything happens in proper fashion, in order, and in proper time, God makes sure that it happens that way. In a way that fully complies with God's own will. Can you agree with that also? And I believe that also. I believe it wholeheartedly. So many times we get upset and we ask God, why didn't you do it this way? Listen, we've got to understand God has a will in this thing. God has a will. He does things. You know what? It is up to us to accept what God's will. It's up to us to accept His plans in our life. When I think of all the things God has done in my life and in your life and in the life of this church, Drift Run Church, I thought about this today as I was getting ready to preach it. You know what? There can be no doubt that God's hand has been guiding us each step of the way. I agree. And I thought about this evening whenever I was getting ready, this afternoon, whenever I was doing this sermon. You know, God's hand has been all over this. Amen? Considering where He brought us from in the past, and you know what? That many paths of life, and you know, I look around here, and I see all the many paths of life of everybody in here, and how God has directed you to this place on this very night right here. For whatever reason it may be, God has directed you here tonight. Can you believe that? I believe it. It's nothing short of a miracle in my eyes. Do you understand that? Nothing short of that we have been led to this hour and to this place. It's nothing short of it. I can tell you that. All of us together as a body of Christ, Drift Run Church, to perform a work for the Lord. Amen? That's what we've been drawn here before this evening. That's what we've been. It may seem like that much of this has been a series of coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence, by the way. I don't believe in that. I believe God's will. I believe God's plan. I believe that you are here tonight because God directed you here tonight. Jeff said something earlier about, you know, one blessing maybe we don't realize. And I've said this before. The next time that you get mad because you're late, because something broke down or something happened, you need to stop and think. Maybe it was that minute or that 2 minutes that kept you out of a bad wreck. Maybe it was something that you know God had put in front of you to make you late for a reason. It's not coincidence. You understand that. But somehow God has brought us together at this time and this place for a purpose and for a reason. Whether you have come from other churches or have been here all your life, you are not here by coincidence. Amen? You are not. You are not. God has set in motion a plan to get us all here for a reason. Do you agree with that? He set that plan in motion. It's not. Sometimes we think that this stuff's all in our own minds and we do this stuff all ourselves. I want you to know something this evening. Like I said, it's not coincidence. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your family's life. God has a plan for this church. And for every other church around here, He has a plan for it. The plan was set in place in the heart of every individual that's here. I wish I could tell you I had all the answers. They long don't have all the answers. To why God works the way He does and what He does. I first started preaching here on Mother's Day in 2009. Raise your hands and tell me how many of you was here on Mother's Day 2009 and heard me preach the first sermon that was here. Exactly. Exactly. Oxford started, you know what? And took the church by God's will in January of 2010. I want to tell you something. The rest of you have come here and have been here within the last 5 years, and I want to thank you. I want to praise God. I want to give God the glory that you're here tonight. I want you to understand something now. Now listen to me. The reason that everyone else is here tonight, the reason that you are here, is not because of Dave Long. It's because God has had a reason for you to be here. You're here, and God has a reason for this church to do what it's doing. It's not because of me. It's not. And you know what? I praise God, and I thank Him every day. I thank Him every day for the plan that He's working, for the plan that He begot. That means, you know what? Just as much, those people that have been here and have come here in the last time, you're just as much a part of this church as those people who have been here all their life. Can you say amen to that, folks? You agree? I know the ones that have been here, they agree with me on that. You know what? You're a part of the family of God. You're a part of Drift Run Church. I've got a reason for preaching this way, so you just bear with me a little bit. I'm telling you this not by happen by coincidence. It didn't happen by coincidence. No way, no shape, or form. Praise God. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts." I'm going to tell you what, don't try to figure God out. Don't try to figure Him out. You know what? I just want you to praise Him. I want you to thank Him for what has been worked in your life, what has been worked in your family's life, what has been going on and worked in this church's life. I want to tell you, just stand and praise Him. Don't even try to figure out the way that He does. Why do I mention? Because you know what? As we move forward, God still has plenty for each of us to do. And that's why I brought this up. For Drift Run Church to do. For you to do as an individual. And you know what? We need to seek God's will in our lives. We need to seek God's will for this church. We need to seek God's will for everything that we do. But you know why? Because you know what? As we move forward, I am here to tell you, the devil doesn't like it. I've told you this before. There's going to be issues. There's going to be things come up. But pray God, you know what? There's nothing that we can't overcome through Jesus Christ and the power of His blood and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that we can't overcome. Right now is not the time to stop seeking God's will for our lives and for the church. Quite the contrary, folks. You know what? We need to seek Him more. We need to seek Him more. Amen. We need to do that. No sin. Sin can be no more devastating. There's no sin that can be so more devastating in a church than for an individual or for a church to become indifferent. That's why I preach that to you this evening. Do not become. We've come a long ways. God understands that. Spiritually speaking, we have. And you know what? I say this. I tell this to my wife, and I hope I've told you guys this here before. Listen to me. I was sitting at 14th Avenue, and I was dying spiritually. Do you understand that? I was called to preach, and I was not doing what God wanted me to do. And you know what? God showed fit that you folks called me to come down here to preach. And praise God, it wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a happenstance. God did it for a reason. And I tell you that right now, you know what? I became indifferent. And you know what? I told you I was indifferent, and I was indifferent. I was at the point where I didn't, you know, I was even doubting whether or not I should ever preach again. But praise God, you know what? He brought me through all that, and today I am what I am because it's not coincidence. It's because His will, and I minded what He wanted me to do. If you seek God, He will reward you. God rewards and always rewards the effort that we put into everything. Do not become indifferent. Do not become that way. How do we seek God's will for our lives? I'll give you some simple things. And they're very simple. It's not nothing that I've never preached before. But I believe it's very earnest that you listen to this evening and understand. We have come so far as a church. You've come so far as an individual, as a family in your life. But I'll tell you what, don't give up. And I think we need to keep seeking His will for our lives. We need to continue seeking God through our obedience to Him. Do you agree with that? We need to keep seeking him through our obedience. It's very important that we do that. 1 Samuel 15:22 tells us, it said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Are you willing to pay the price to know God? Can I ask you that this evening? Are you willing to pay the price to be obedient to what God has for you to do in your life? Are you willing to do that? Because if you're willing to do that, you will seek God with everything that you've got, and God will bless you for it. If you're willing to pay that price. I'll tell you, and I say this, I don't mean to be hard on people, but you know what? Listen, there are people that's going to church week after week after week. They go to church, and you know what? They hear the preachers preach. They hear the teachers teach. But do you realize they're not willing to pay the price of obedience, even by doing that? You wonder why people don't grow. You wonder why they don't grow spiritually. Why they don't want to step up and do more for God. Well, there's no more simple answer than this. They're not willing to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing? 1 John 2:3-4. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we stay obedient to God and his plans for our life and for the church, we can see the plans that come to fruition in our life. If we stay obedient to God." If we stay obedient, we can see that stuff come to fruition. Do you believe that? I believe that. I'll tell you what, we've only scratched the surface. You've only scratched the surface of what God has for you in your life, what he has in store for you. And whenever you realize and are obedient and continue to seek God, this church can't help but to keep growing spiritually. You know, I've never been one to preach for numbers. That's not what this is about. You know what? I would rather have 5 people on fire for the Lord than we'll have 1,000 people that don't really care. Because you know, when 2 or 3 are gathered in his name, he said, "I will be in the midst." And praise God, I believe that this evening. I believe it. And you know what? I'll tell you something else. We also continue to see God's will for our lives and for the church through giving. And I want to tell you something. This church is a giving church. I want to tell you that. I can never, ever say that this church is not a giving church. It has amazed me down through the time that I've been here how much that you give and with the heart that you give it with. I'll tell you what. You continue to give and continue to have a heart that gives, and God will continue to bless beyond measure. I'll tell you, those old guys at 14th Avenue, that old Bill Decker and them used to say this, and I'll stand by this because he said, "You'll never outgive God. You'll never outgive him. I don't care what you want to try to throw in the plate or what you want to try to do, you will never, ever outgive God. No matter what you do. No matter what." Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye might, withal it shall be measured to you again." Listen, if you want to try to outgive God, you go right ahead. I'd like to see you do it. But you know, with that scripture right there, I'm going to tell you something right there. You know, you give, and God will give you abundantly beyond measure. Continue to seek God through your giving. Continue to do that, church. And I'll tell you what, we will never lack if we continue to do that in a way that we, with the heart that should be given. Seeking God through our prayers. Asking God, lead the church and lead our lives every day of every week of every year. On our knees praying. I'll tell you what, if you don't have nobody else to pray for tomorrow, tonight, the rest will pray for me. Amen. Pray for Dave Long. Pray for me that I will be the preacher, that I will be the minister that you need, that this church needs, that this community needs. I want to be that. Not for my own glory, never for my own glory. I always want to lift up Jesus Christ. And if I don't do that, you come and tell me I need to get on my knees. I'll pray for you. I want you to understand that. Proverbs 8:17, "I love them that love me, and those who seek me only shall find me." Praise God. The Bible tells us the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much, right? Amen. You know what? Folks, when you go to prayer seeking God, when you go on my behalf, on the church's behalf, on the lost behalf, you know what? It availeth much. Amen. It does. Praise God. Don't stop doing that. I'll tell you something else, too. We need to seek God. To seek Him through our service. Why is it that we will study for years in college to get a degree? We'll labor nights and weekends to get ahead for our careers. We'll do all that. There's people that will do that. Yet we think that knowing God should be effortless. Why do we do that? Why do we think that all this stuff we can labor for, but yet knowing God should be just effortless? There should be nothing into it. We'll exercise for hours to improve our physical health. We'll do that. We'll insist that our children do their homework. We'll insist that, which is good. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. And practice their piano lessons every day. In other areas of life, we understand that having things of value means, you know what? We're going to have to work and have dedication to get them. Do you not agree with me on that? And I told my kids that. You know what? Don't expect nothing for free. You need to work for it. Yet, in the realm of the Spirit, and in the realm of expecting, in the realm of doing things for God, we expect it to be dropped right into our laps without having to do a thing. Tell me what's wrong with that scenario. What is wrong with that? It don't work that way. You're exactly right. It doesn't work that way. Yet, you know what? Like anything else of great worth, anything else, you know what? Knowing God requires diligence. It knows sustained effort. I'm going to tell you what. Anybody that's been serving the Lord for years will tell you, you know what? It may not have been a bed of roses all the time, but you know what? It's been worth all that you've had to do down through. Amen? Seeking and serving God. It just isn't dropped into our laps. You know what? It just isn't. 1 Timothy 4:7-10. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worth of all application. Acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That's why we need a spiritual habit. We need a spiritual habit of service in our lives. We need it. I'll tell you what. Don't expect stuff to be dropped into your lap. You know what? We serve God. We serve Him day and night. We try to serve Him with all that we have. And whenever we do that, then God will honor that service. He'll honor this for the church. We've got to be a church continue of service. We've got to be individuals that continue in service. Listen, service to God, to the church, and especially service to one another. Amen? We need to do that. I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this right now. And I'm done. But I want to end up with this, folks. We need to seek God more now than what we started, you know what? Than what we started seeking Him out years ago whenever we first got saved. Do you agree with me on that? It is a growing thing. It is a thing that, you know what? I want to seek Him more, you know, this time next year. And I've said this and I believe this. If you have not grown anymore by this time next year, you need to check out what's going on in your life. You need to check it out. Because I believe this is a growing thing. I believe this is a serving. And praise God, I believe that we can grow and serve the Lord. Do you believe that this evening? Amen. They come and get a song.